All right, howdy, y'all, and welcome to season two, episode seven. Okay. Of Side Country Sisters. Welcome to season two, episode seven, again, of Side Country Sisters. Mm-hmm. We are going to be doing a little spooky season episode just the week after Halloween on the Stanley Hotel.
Mm-hmm. And it is spooky.
Oh.
Probably because it's the day after Election Day. So... spooky season continues.
Yes. All right. Well, what have you been up to, Cass?
I've been working this week, which I'm grateful. But yes, challenging week for work. And then not much. I mean, I can't remember. Did we go on? I mean, I've been on walks with work, but I don't remember if we've been on a walk this week or not.
Not me and you. No. Okay, and then today it snowed.
Yeah, today it snowed. Yesterday, we were going to kind of go on a walk yesterday, but the queen wasn't feeling good.
No.
And then good thing we didn't, because the temperature tanked within that hour that we were going to be walking, hour to hour and a half. It dropped from, it was like 58, and it went to like 42 within an hour. It was crazy. So,
probably best.
Yeah. Today I really was wanting to go for a walk and get the dogs out, but it just literally has not stopped snowing since last night.
I know.
And like, it's not like it's necessarily sticking to the, like driveway and stuff much. It's just like, I don't really want to go walk in that. It's like 32. The sun's not out.
The dogs are going to get soaking wet.
Yeah.
Because it's still snowing. Like, they'll get wet.
Then they're going to stink. And Rollo just got groomed.
He just got his hair did.
Yeah. So, we can't mess it up.
I know. I was going to say, last week, John and I have been going on, like, hikes and stuff. And we've been kind of finding, like, little pockets still of trees that haven't, like, lost their leaves or dropped their leaves. And what hike did... it was a hike that you guys have done kind of over by the Buffs, Genesee Park.
Oh, yeah. I like that one a lot. The one where you have to cross the river a couple times.
Yes.
Yeah.
We found some trees over there, and then we did another hike recently that is a little bit even closer, and we found some trees. Anyway, but I think today with the snow, that's probably officially...
yeah.
Officially over.
Yeah. I'm like, it is... it went from like a very mild fall to just, I mean, I'm sure it's because it hasn't been this way, but it is chilled to the bone.
It is. So, so cold.
So that's what I've been up to.
Also, I'm recording this with a baby in my arms, so we'll see if she stays asleep.
Yeah. You might hear little.
A little squeak.
Yeah. Little additions from her.
Yes. I can do hard things.
She just needs to be held right now.
Yes.
Don't we all?
Well, I guess we'll get to it.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the Stanley Hotel and Estes Park, which I may have mentioned this summer when we were recording, but John and I did a little baby moon in Estes Park this summer before, kind of waited last minute. So we went, I think, end of June. So it probably was like due in like 5 or 6 weeks. Yeah, just like a little baby moon in Estes Park, and we had dinner at the Stanley Hotel and did a little ghost tour and stuff too. But there's lots of fun tours at the Stanley Hotel. Like, we did a ghost one, but they also have just like, I think just like a historic one, and they also have a movie tour where you can like learn about like the different movies and things that were like filmed there or whatever.
Stephen King's films.
Yeah, and things like that. So definitely a cool and very historic place to hang out. So that was a fun little baby moon. And there's like, I mean, the grounds are just amazing. There's a fun like wine bar and then a like really fancy restaurant and then like a more casual restaurant. So there's lots of like different options. And there was like a little garden maze that they're like starting to grow like in front of the hotel.
Ooh.
So you got to like, it's like the beginning of bushes, you know, that should like grow up to be tall. So you can do the little garden maze. And that was fun.
That's so cool.
Whenever we went. But all right. So I'll start with the Stanley Hotel history. Does that sound good?
And then yeah.
Okay. All righty. So the Stanley Hotel, like I said, in Estes Park, Colorado, was built by Freeland Oscar Stanley, or referred to or called F.O. Stanley. And he was one of the co-founders of the Stanley Motor Carriage Company, along with his brother, his twin brother, Francis. But Freeland is the one that started the Stanley. So we'll really just be talking about him. But so the hotel itself opened on July 4th in 1909 as a resort for the upper-class Easterners and a health retreat for sufferers of pulmonary tuberculosis. So F.O. Stanley was diagnosed with tuberculosis, also known as consumption, in 1903. And at that time, like a lot of the recommended treatment was fresh air and a lot of sunlight. And, quote, hearty diet.
Mm-hmm.
So this led him to the Rocky Mountains. His doctor recommended that he go west, basically, for fresh air and sunlight. So he ended up out here and was here for a season and ended up recovering. And then it went on to live till he was 91 years old. So apparently that worked.
Wow.
Yeah. Sunlight and fresh air.
Lovely.
I know. I'm like, I see that.
Yeah.
I feel like that cures most of my stuff.
I know. Just go like bleach yourself out in the sun.
Yeah, exactly. Dry yourself up too from all your gunk. So it worked. And, but that kind of inspired, what would soon be the Stanley Hotel. And so, spending his summer, like him and his wife started spending their summers out there after 1903 and just for their health. But Stanley was not, or F.O. Stanley was not content with the, quote, rustic accommodations, lazy pastimes, and relaxed social scene of their new summer home, which is when he then had the idea to turn Estes Park into a tourist destination. And so began the Stanley Hotel, which I think that's like a funny, like that he didn't like the rustic accommodations or lazy pastime, because I'm like, that's like part of being outdoors. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know.
You want to be entertained?
Yeah, exactly. Like, so created the Stanley Hotel.
Yeah. Let's get all the animals to put on a show.
Yes. And entertain us. Easterners.
Yes.
So the land for the Stanley Hotel was originally inhabited by Ute and Arapaho tribes and was then owned by the 4th Earl of Dunraven and Mount Earl, who had claimed about 15,000 acres in the Estes Valley to try to create a private hunting preserve, which I love how it says he had claimed 15,000 acres. You're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Wonder how you got that. But anyway, the private hunting preserve ended up being unsuccessful, and he ended up never returning to, after a couple summers, never returned to Estes Park. And thus the land, it became the land that was going to be the location for the Stanley Hotel. So the location for the Stanley was picked for its overlook of Estes Valley, and in 1907, F.O. Stanley paid Lord Dunraven $80,000 for the land, which in today's money is... All right, so $80,000 in 1907 worth today would be... Any guesses?
Oh, gosh. $2 million?
Yeah, close. $2.7 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm getting good at this.
Yes. So he purchased the land for about $80,000 or $2.7 million. And then he spent about $500,000 on the hotel and building everything, which is about $17 million today. So on the property was the main hotel and a concert hall, which also brought guests from the foothill towns like Lyons, Longmont, and Loveland, Colorado. And the hotel itself was equipped with running water, electricity, and telephones in the rooms, and apparently was the first all-electric hotel in the world, which was due to the creation of the Fall River Hydro Plant. That's pretty wild, like the first all-electric hotel.
Yeah.
In Estes Park, Colorado.
Yeah.
That you're is not even like in a town, really. Yeah. You're in the mountains.
Huh.
So pretty impressive.
Yeah, I wonder what non-fully electric hotels were like.
I mean, I guess like oil lamps or
yeah.
a lot of gas, because, I mean, I don't, appliances sounds like a funny word, but like
yeah.
gas run things and then. Yeah, probably like oil lamps and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's not to say that some hotels like didn't have some electricity, but I guess maybe there were parts of them that didn't have electricity, and this one was the first fully electric hotel.
Yeah. Electricity is a luxury.
Yes. I do enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like the rough history of kind of how the Stanley came to be. And since then, the hotel has changed ownership several times throughout its life. And until 1983, it was only open in the summertime.
Okay.
So the hotel and the creation of Rocky Mountain National Park, which was established in 1915, greatly contributed to the growth of Estes Park. But the Stanley Hotel was kind of on the decline in the like 1970s and ended up having like a revitalization kind of around that time. Mm-hmm. But also around that time, it served as the inspiration for the Overlook Hotel in The Shining by Stephen King. But The Shining is not like based on the Stanley Hotel, the story and everything. It's just that it was like the inspiration for.
Mm-hmm.
So the storyline of The Shining is not the storyline of the Stanley Hotel.
I've never seen The Shining.
Really?
Yeah. I know. I have to now.
Well, this weekend, I guess. We know what we're... Oh, no, not this weekend. Yeah, okay, maybe when you get back.
Yeah. We can watch The Shining. Yeah.
So Stephen King and his wife had spent a night at the hotel in the 1970s. And so they were the only ones... It was the last day of open season. And they were the only ones staying in the hotel. Him and his wife, Tabitha. And so apparently he went to bed and ended up having like a nightmare dream that awoke him. And by the time he left for the weekend, the idea and outline for The Shining was already in the works.
Wow.
Yeah. So that is a little bit of history about the Stanley Hotel.
Mm-hmm. That just makes me think like, wow, since that was... You know, that's like one of the most famous, horror movies in known to man. I'm like, maybe I should start writing down my nightmares.
Yeah, exactly.
Get rich.
Turn it into a book and then a movie and then a TV show.
Yeah.
Because I was reading and I think he was not really like impressed with the movie for whatever reason. That he didn't really like it the way it was done. But I think there was a TV show, The Shining, that ended up coming out a few years ago. In that one, he was more, like, he felt did his book justice or was more related to his book.
Yeah.
But I don't think he really liked the movie very much.
Yeah.
And then, just another fun fact, one of the, so, again, the Stanley is not, or the Shining is not based on the Stanley. It's just the inspiration for. But in Dumb and Dumber, when they film at that hotel in Aspen,
mm-hmm.
it's really filmed at the Stanley Hotel in
Estes. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the hotel that they're supposed to be at in Aspen isn't a real place.
Yeah. I'm sure Aspen doesn't want to be associated
with Dumb and Dumber.
But that's their loss.
Yeah. Estes is like, we'll take it.
Yeah. And since we talked with Julie last week, we'll just give a subtle little plug here that Dumb and Dumber is Julie's favorite movie of all time.
That checks out.
Yeah. Okay. So for my portion of this, I'm going to basically build a little bit on the history of like why the Stanley is a scary / haunted place and, you know, why they can do ghost tours and things like that, or like, you know, what we feel the reasons are. I was going to look up a separate spooky story, but the Stanley Hotel, I feel like they kind of do this like similar to Denver Botanical Gardens. Denver Botanical Gardens is the plot of land that they are on is on like the Cheeseman Park Cemetery, like the OG cemetery of like Denver area there. And so there's a lot of ghost stories there, and they only like they are super protective of them. And so only certain people get to tell the stories, and you know, you can't necessarily like find the valid ones on the internet and things like that. Cause a lot of the stories are also from like actual staff experiences, like to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyways, I'd really love to do one of theirs. We missed it for this year, but, the Denver Botanical Gardens is also maybe next year. We'll get into that one. For the Stanley, I'm going to really build on the history as to like why, like I said, why it's spooky. Because other people's ghost stories, I just don't even know if they're worth sharing. I read through some of them and I was like, I won't be able to, like, I respect if this is a true story for you, but like, I won't be able to take this seriously.
I know.
Okay. So the Stanley Hotel, according to a Colorado news source, actually made the list for number 5 as one of the most haunted hotels in the country. Yeah. And they believe that ghost stories did start long before King's novel. And that the concert hall is actually one of the most documented spots for ghost activity, especially following its renovation in the year 2000. Why? I do not know. But this was actually kind of interesting. I was like, oh, I want to like look more into this. But it said that some psychics claim that the hotel is a vortex or a paranormal portal. Psychics, guests, and workers claim to have seen ghosts near the staircase, and many believe that this is why the hotel is so haunted. I'm like, ooh, a vortex.
Spooky.
How terrifying. Yeah. An open portal. They could probably put that on Stranger Things. Anyways, so the most prominent and detailed story comes from the fourth floor, which in one of the sources I read is allegedly like the room that Stephen King and his wife had stayed in. I believe it's room
217. Yeah.
And that's where they believe like the biggest event happened. For the fourth floor, it is one of the most popular spots for ghost sightings. And guests commonly report hearing children running through the halls. Inside the rooms, stories get spookier, and reports include closet doors opening and closing by themselves, as well as disappearing and reappearing items. The most detailed story comes from room 428, where guests have seen a cowboy at the edge of the bed, along with heavy footsteps and rearranged furniture while the guests sleep.
I'm sorry, the cowboy part is too much.
It gets better. Locals believe that this is the spirit of James Nugent, known as Rocky Mountain Jim. I'm sorry, Rocky Mountain Jim, you can come in whenever.
You can come visit me at any point.
Who founded much of Estes Park. While he didn't die in the hotel, as the story goes, his spirit gravitates to female guests and sometimes gives them a ghostly kiss while they're asleep.
Oh,
cheeky.
Yeah.
So non-consensual, Rocky Mountain Jim.
Yeah.
can't be kissing girls while they're asleep.
No. You got to ask permission.
Yeah. Okay, so room 217, which is the room where Stephen King stayed, is debatably the biggest hot spot, which all stems from an accident in the hotel's early years. So, after the valley experienced a flood, the two-year-old hotel's power went out for the first time. Stanley took it upon himself to install a gas lantern in each room to provide the guests with a light, and a leak caused a buildup of gas to form in room 217. The head chambermaid, Elizabeth Wilson, entered the room with a lit candle and set off a massive explosion. Wilson miraculously survived and was launched from the room's entrance to the dining hall located on the first floor. So she was sent through the floor. I don't even know how that happens, but an estimated 10% of the hotel wasn't as lucky, and one observer reported seeing a bathtub fly up in the air during the blast. After waking up from a coma, Wilson returned to work in 1913 and remained employed by the hotel until 1950. So she did live. I believe the bathtub flying up in like a gas explosion, but it just reminds me of that scene from Monsters, Inc., where they're like interviewing the monsters after Boo is in the restaurant.
Oh, yes, yes.
And all the monsters are being so dramatic. I'm like, that's what I think of.
Oh, that's yeah. How you imagine it.
And with the country accent. Okay, so this is where Wilson's story should end, but it doesn't. According to some hotel guests and staff, her spirit is said to still inhabit room 217, but reports claim that she's typically more helpful than scary. Guests have shared stories of waking up to a room that was tidier than it was the night before, with their clothes folded and suitcases organized. One other couple told a staff member at the Stanley that their bed was made around them during the night with them still inside, like they were tucked in. But take note, if you're considering staying in this famous hotel and aren't married, you may not have the most restful night of sleep if you choose to stay in 217. Unmarried couples have reported a chilly presence settling into bed with them as they've slept.
Oh.
Adulterers. I'm like, how'd she know if you got a marriage license? Get out of here. So
she's like, not allowed.
Exactly, yeah. This says, whether it's fact or fiction, the numerous reports coin the Stanley Hotel as one of the most haunted hotels in America. So we can only imagine that they are haunted by some of the people from the gas explosion, some of the people from tuberculosis, and who knows what else happened in between, because apparently just before Stephen King stayed there, the hotel was like getting a little bit, you know, like run down and stuff like that. And so I actually am genuinely curious as to like what condition the hotel was even in when he decided to stay there.
Yeah.
So, that is the lowdown on the spookiness of the Stanley Hotel.
I wish we would have gone like for Halloween.
Oh yeah, that would be fun.
Like a little, or like during the Halloween season, like a little spooky happy hour. I'm sure they do something like that.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of, if y'all check their website, it says they have a lot of options for lodging. So you can like go out to the land and you can like rent a house out there.
Yeah.
You can stay in the hotel if you want. I bet it's probably damn near impossible to try to actually stay in room 217. I would love to see what the cost of that is.
Or like the wait list or something for it if people are like on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of different like lodging options when we didn't stay at the Stanley, but we just ate there because we had the dogs and it is not pet friendly. So we couldn't stay at the Stanley. But there's like the main hotel, which is the original like main hotel that you can stay at. And then there's several other different options that have been built over the years. And one is like, you know, more of like a residence where you can like rent out larger areas, like if you're having like a bigger group. And there's one that's like more like modern, but they did a good job, in my opinion, of like making them all very like cohesive and kind of like looking like the original buildings on site. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you have the old Stanley and then like there's this brand new like modern looking building that's a completely different style or something. Like, yeah. They kept it all the same style. So
that would suck. Did.
Yeah.
If it was like.
It was like a modern, separate, like yeah. steel and I don't know, dark wood outside build, like black and dark wood outside building when like yeah. everything else is like white and columns and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So they did a good job, I think.
Isn't I've never been to Estes Park, but I've heard that like in terms of like mountain town tourism, et cetera, it's a little bit more sleepy, right?
Yeah, because I'm not going to say it doesn't have a lot of activities because it does, especially like in the summertime, like hiking and fishing and all of that. But there's no like, and you're right by Rocky Mountain National Park, but there's no like skiing. So it doesn't have like the winter activities that like some other more popular, I guess I would say like mountain towns have mm-hmm. because you don't have like that aspect.
Yeah.
I think there was like an old ski run or not even resort, but just like ski area, if you will, back in the day, but it closed. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it was in Estes. I think it was maybe outside of Estes.
Yeah.
But yes, they don't have like that aspect.
Mm-hmm. I mean, which I'm like, I feel like any mountain town would probably still like to be classified as that to some extent, right? Some of the people there, like we need the sleepy ones as well. But yeah, it reminds me of Leadville, where their slogan is "Keep Leadville Shitty."
Yes,
because
God, I love Leadville.
Yeah, they don't want it, you know, commercialized. But I ask that because I'm like, it's so funny that Stanley was like, "This place is ridiculous and lazy and sleepy, and we need to liven it up with some activities." And then it's like, it's returned to being sleepy.
It just has like a fancy hotel in it. Yeah. Yeah. But he like built like the concert hall and stuff as part of it. Cause yeah, they would bring like live entertainment, you uh-huh. know, they wanted to be entertained.
Yeah. They wanted to bring the East Coast lifestyle. Over yes. here, I guess. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. But yeah, that is the Stanley.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. I hope that y'all feel like you learned. I mean, I did because I didn't know anything about any of this.
So. Yeah.
Maybe someone else out there is like me.
Or maybe someone's a Stanley expert and is like, duh.
And you're going to tell us that, yeah.
We are wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll put my sources, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. It's the internet.
Yeah, exactly. What's real?
Yeah.
All right, well.
Who's to say? Okay. Well, with love.
All things outside.
Bye.
Bye.